This week on a special episode of WebMD's Health Discovered podcast, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
When I first heard the words, "you have lung cancer," I was in shock.
It's a diagnosis that changes everything. So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Introducing Home Care Plus, a new subscription service from Lowe's that helps make life easier by giving members a hand with home maintenance. Let Lowe's tackle the tasks you keep meaning to do, like electric dryer vent cleaning, replacing hard-to-reach light bulbs, and more. Subscribe to Home Care Plus for just $99 a year and consider your to-do list done. Members get more at Lowe's. Available in select zip codes only. Cancel anytime. Non-refundable fee. Product purchase required. Terms and service restrictions apply. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Crime Weekly News. I'm Derek Levasseur.
And I'm Stephanie Harlow.
And tonight, we're going to be talking about a case that a lot of people thought was already settled. In 2020, 11-year-old Gannon Stauch was reported missing out of Colorado Springs. What followed was a nationwide search, a disturbing investigation, and ultimately, the conviction of his stepmother, Letitia Stauch, for his murder. She was found guilty and sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. But now, in a surprising turn, that conviction has been overturned, sending the case back into the spotlight and raising new questions about what happens next. So today, we're going to be breaking down what led to this decision, what it means legally, and where the case stands now. Now, I have to be honest, Stephanie, and we talked about this very little before we started, but I was not familiar with this case at all. You've referenced it a couple times in some of our Crime Weekly episodes, but I'd be lying to you guys if I said I was familiar with this case. So I'm going to be learning about it, just as some of you guys are as well, as Stephanie kind of breaks down just an overview of it, because I know very little about this case, but I know you guys were going crazy for it on social media.
Yeah, I covered this case extensively as it was happening. It was one of those cases that as it was kind of unfolding, I saw it and I was like, there's something not right about this. Okay, it's kind of like a case that I just saw pop up today where they said this American woman was in the Bahamas with her husband and they were out on a boat together alone. And then he said he came back alone on the boat and said she fell off the boat, but she had the key to the boat in her pocket when she fell off the boat. And then a current just took her away as soon as she fell off the boat.
Convenient.
And so it took him a really long time to get back to shore because he had to basically row the boat because he doesn't have the, like, as soon as I heard that, I was like, there's something not right about this case.
Right.
And that's what Gannon's case was for me. And so
you covered this on your channel?
Yep. Back in 2020.
Okay.
Yep.
So guys can go check that out. Maybe it's something we cover as well, but obviously, maybe.
I've covered this case extensively.
Okay.
So, yes.
Yeah, you've definitely met the name. I only knew it because of you.
You've
mentioned
this
name before.
I hate this woman, Letitia Stauch.
Tell me how you really feel.
She is the devil incarnate. She is the absolute worst person. You would not believe the things that she did. So let's just go over this quickly because, Derek, you're not familiar with it.
Not at all. Not at all. So I've seen a couple things online. I heard Gannon's name, obviously, but as far as the details, I'm in the blind right now.
Yeah, and maybe some other people aren't familiar with it as well, so we could use a refresh. So the Gannon Stauch case, it starts like a lot of cases do. Ordinary, quiet, a normal family, nothing that would make you look twice. And then Gannon Stauch is home in Colorado Springs on January 26, 2020. He's 11 years old. He's a kid who loved video games. He had a routine. He had a life that made sense. He was with his stepmother, Letitia Stauch. His father was out of town for a work trip. And sometime between that afternoon and the next morning, something happened inside that house because Gannon was never seen alive again. So January 27th, 2020, this is, after Gannon is last seen alive, Letitia calls 911. She says, Gannon's missing. At first, it feels like every parent's worst nightmare. Maybe he wandered off. Maybe someone took him. Law enforcement responded quickly, community mobilized, people searched, share his photo, hold on to hope, but almost immediately things did not feel right. So Letitia starts talking as they do, as Chris Watts did, as they always do, and the story starts changing. Gannon was hurt. Maybe he was burned in a candle accident. No, actually, he left the house. No, someone actually broke in and took him. And each version that she told of the story, it didn't just shift, it contradicted everything she'd said prior. And then investigators found something that didn't fit any version of her story, which was blood inside Gannon's bedroom. Not a small amount, not something easily explained away. And then there's surveillance footage. So the cameras show Letitia leaving the house with Gannon. He seems to be alive. And then she came back alone. And at that moment, the case changed. This wasn't a search anymore. It became something else entirely. As investigators dug deeper, more evidence surfaced. Signs of cleanup, you know, buying cleaning products, inconsistencies, behavior that didn't line up with a parent searching for a missing child. Law enforcement then named Letitia as a person of interest. And then the question became not where is Gannon, but what happened to him? Who's responsible? Basically, what did Letitia Stauch do to him? So then we go and fast forward to March of 2020. More than a month later, Letitia Stauch was arrested, not in Colorado, but in South Carolina after traveling across the country. She was charged with murder, child abuse resulting in death, and tampering with a body. And at that point, investigators were obviously no longer looking for Gannon alive. They're trying to build a case for his murder. Now, later that month, Gannon's body was found in Florida, hundreds of miles away from home. The details are absolutely devastating. He was shoved in a suitcase, basically thrown over a bridge. This obviously wasn't an accident. This obviously wasn't a moment of panic. It was planned, prolonged, violent, intentional. So then the case moves forward to trial, and Letitia's defense, I guess, starts to take shape. She ends up pleading not guilty by reason of insanity. Her attorneys argue that she wasn't in control. She was suffering from severe mental illness, possibly even dissociation. So now the case splits in two different directions. What happened to Gannon and what apparently was happening inside Letitia's mind. The trial, it happens in April of 2023. I believe the jury hears everything that the prosecution and law enforcement know, the evidence from the home, the movement across state lines, the lies, the contradictions, the behavior, Letitia's crazy ass behavior. She's in jail writing letters to the judge, these drawn out letters where she's like, I'm a patriot and I'm being framed and they're poisoning my food in jail and all this stuff. And then you hear the defense's argument, right? Letitia wasn't mentally responsible for what she did. So they're not denying that she did something, but they're saying that she was just severely mentally ill. And the verdict came, I believe, first week of May 2023. Jury made a decision. They rejected the insanity defense completely. They found her guilty on every count. And like you said, for a moment, it feels like the case has reached its end because the person responsible is in custody. She's been found guilty by a jury of her peers. She's sentenced to life in prison without parole, no chance of release, no second chance. For many people, especially Gannon's family, his mother, his father, his sister, the people that loved him, that was as close to justice as they were going to come. They couldn't get him back.
And before you go forward, I mean, just based on the synopsis you've given us, it seems like a
open and shut.
I hate to say it, but a slam dunk.
Yeah.
Like, it seems pretty obvious. She was with him when she left. She comes back without him. He's found later. You know, 1 + 1 = 2, right? And especially because she's lying about it, and you have to ask yourself if there was something more to the story that she wasn't involved in. There's another player in the game.
I mean, she brought in multiple players that were obviously proven. She said some guy came in and sexually assaulted her in the basement and
right.
then took Gannon. She had, and then her
but
and
initially
Gannon
she didn't
were
say
driving.
That.
And then, no, she didn't. And then her and Gannon were driving in the car and this guy ran in front of the car and made her stop so they could steal Gannon out of the car. As soon as she would realize what the police had found, which is like, okay, we have surveillance footage and we didn't see anybody go into the house. She was like, well, it happened after we left the house, actually.
No, that's a problem. If
yeah.
that's the case, you just say that up front. You want to find Gannon as much as anybody else. You tell him the truth and you allow investigators to use the actual truthful evidence, the specifics, to try to find Gannon as soon as possible. The fact that you tried initially to give a completely different story, how are we supposed to believe anything you say from that point forward?
This wasn't just, oh, I accidentally killed him and I'm trying to cover it up. There was he was horribly brutalized. He died of a gunshot wound, multiple skull fractures. Prosecutors said that Letitia had shot and also stabbed Gannon. This was just, once again, her defense team is like, she's mentally ill. She was suffering from a major psychotic break. And based on what happened to Gannon, you'd almost prefer to believe that, because you have to wonder how a sane woman who's a mother herself, that's her stepson, so that she's not, you know, technically related to Gannon by blood, but she's raising him. But she's also a mother herself to a daughter that is her blood, that she did raise. And she stabbed Gannon 18 times. She hit him 4 times in the head. She shot him 3 times and then shoved his body into a suitcase. It's almost like I wish that she was going through a severe mental break, because how could any sane person do this? The judge in the case, I believe his name is Gregory Warner, he actually said that this case and Letitia's actions were the most horrific he had ever seen. He gave her 2 life sentences without parole, plus 12 years for tampering with a body charge, 18 months for tampering with an evidence charge. It was just absolutely one of the worst cases I have ever seen. And now we get here to 2026, and it's like, we shouldn't even be hearing this woman's name anymore. She should just be, you know, put in prison, the cell doors closed, die in prison. I never want to hear your name or see your stupid face ever again. And of course, she pops back up because the legal system that we have. So let's take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and tell you exactly what happened. Okay, can we talk about razors for a second? I'm the kind of person that's like a sensory thing, so I have to shave a lot because I don't like the feeling of stubble. I really like a clean shave, and it's impossible to keep it without shaving often. And for the longest time, shaving just felt exactly like that, a chore, something I had to do.
Yeah, it's not exactly a luxurious experience. Let's just call it what it is.
Mm-mm, not at all. I mean, it was irritation, razor bumps, constantly replacing cheap razors that didn't work, buying a bunch of different cheap razors to see which one worked better. And somehow, you know, I end up paying more for them just because they're razors that are marketed to women. And that's why I finally switched to Flamingo. Honestly, it's changed the whole experience.
So what's actually different about it?
Well, first of all, it feels like it was actually designed for me. The original razor has 5 sharp blades, a 360-degree comfort system, and a flexible hinge that actually hugs your curves instead of fighting them. And the handle, I really like it because, like I said, these cheap razors I've been buying from the store, plastic, they feel like they weigh nothing. This handle really gives it that luxurious, real experience. It's weighted, ergonomic. It just feels more intentional than those flimsy razors.
Yeah, so it's not just one of those, hey, make it pink and call it a day situations like you see with all the women-geared products.
Right, exactly. Flamingo was created by women who were tired of that. No pink tax, no cheap design, just something that actually works. And the shave itself is very important, of course. The finished project is important. It's so much smoother. I noticed way less irritation, and my skin stays soft for days.
Yeah, and it's not just a razor, right?
Oh, they got tons of stuff. So the starter set is where I would suggest kind of picking up if you haven't tried Flamingo before. You're going to get the razor, a blade cartridge, their foaming shave gel that gives you that really soft cushion while you shave, plus a shower holder so that it's not like laying on the floor of your shower or your bath and getting gross. They even have a facial dermaplane razor for peach fuzz and exfoliation, which I love. Honestly, Flamingo has made shaving feel less like something I have to do and more like part of a self-care routine that I actually enjoy. So for a limited time, our listeners can get the Flamingo starter set for only $7, which is crazy.
Wow.
Only $7. And you have to go to shopflamingo.com/crimeweekly. Once again, that's shopflamingo.com/crimeweekly to claim this offer. And after you purchase, they're going to ask where you heard about them. So please support our show and let them know Crime Weekly sent you.
All right, we're back. And this is definitely the part that I'm most interested in, because the first part that you just told us before the break, I'm sitting here thinking, just as a layman hearing this for the first time, this is one of the most clear-cut cases you can have. Like, okay, justice was served. It's never going to bring Gannon back, but okay, at least the person responsible is behind bars and won't hurt anybody else. That's the best you're going to get here. I'll take it. You know, that's what it is. She's behind bars, life in prison without parole, justice served. Let's move on. And now when I hear that everything that I saw online and the frustration from a lot of you guys, now I understand. Because real quickly, when I talked to you about this over the weekend, when I told you, because you were away this weekend, you had things going on, was that the first time you had heard about it? Or because your reaction was pretty visceral, but I didn't know if it was just
It was the first time I heard about it. But then after you told me about it, I went on Instagram and I saw all the messages. People had been, So what was my reaction?
I literally was like, Stephanie, and I didn't even pronounce her name right. I was like, yeah, that girl, Letitia Stowich. And you're like, Letitia Stowich. And I was like, yeah. And you like, are you kidding me? And you started, I could tell you were like searching as you were talking to me. And you were like, which is a rarity, you were speechless. You were like, are you kidding me? And I ruined your night, essentially. But
I think I said more like, are you effing kidding me?
That was actually
livid. I was thinking, is he getting bad information? There's no possible way. There's no possible way.
I was
way.
Like, yeah, people are talking about this one that she got off or it's going to be a new trial. And you're like, no. I was like, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, well, here, let's figure out what it's about. Because once again, it's some stupid bullshit. Why do the worst people always get all of these chances to continue torturing us? Like
that's
Lori Vallow.
Our justice system, baby.
Like Elizabeth Smart said, we don't have a justice system. We have a legal system.
The offenders have more rights than the victims. The victims are no longer here. So F them, right? Who cares about them?
So the Colorado Court of Appeals has overturned the first degree murder conviction of Letitia Stowich due to a procedural error. Let's burn it all down. So the ruling said the court may have denied Letitia an impartial jury when it allowed a juror to remain after being challenged for a potential bias. First of all, there was not going to be a person in this country who could sit on that jury and be impartial, because what she did to that little boy, if you can be impartial about that and not just be absolutely outraged, disgusted, and want to see her face the electric chair for it, then I don't know what kind of person you are. But there's really, in cases like this, when it's so cut and dry, as you said, it's not like a Casey Anthony where, you know, I think she's guilty, but where there's just really, you know, she's denying it still. Letitia admitted to it, but then her defense said, she had a mental break. So what kind of person can sit on a jury like that, hear the things that she did to that 11-year-old boy and be impartial? I don't know. But basically, Colorado law allows for a challenge of a juror who may have a, quote, relationship within the third degree by blood, adoption, or marriage to a defendant or to any attorney of record or attorney engaged in the trial of the case, end quote. So in the written opinion, Judge Nettie Pawar said the trial court ruling didn't stand because one of the jurors involved in deliberations was potentially biased. Okay, so the juror in question said his son-in-law worked as a deputy district attorney in the 4th Judicial District Attorney's Office in El Paso County, which is the county that prosecuted the case. According to the ruling, the juror should have been dismissed automatically because of their relationship to the district attorney's office. This Judge Pawar wrote, to preserve the appearance, if not the reality, of fairness in a criminal prosecution and public trust and confidence in the criminal justice system. That's a funny way to put it, by the way. This judge says to preserve the appearance, if not the reality, of fairness in a criminal prosecution. What?
This is for show, basically.
Yeah, basically. And trust me, I don't think you're gaining any public trust and confidence when a woman like this, who everybody unilaterally hates and thinks belongs in prison, when a woman like that is all of a sudden like, oh yeah, let's overturn her conviction because a juror happened to have a relative who happened to work as a deputy district attorney in El Paso County, because that doesn't change the evidence. That doesn't change anything.
And this is grasping at straws.
Yeah, it takes more than one juror, by the way, to find somebody to be guilty of murder.
For me, it's so much bigger than just this case. I have always felt like when it comes to, You want an impartial trial. You want everyone to get a fair shake. But there's such a lack of consideration for the victims' families, because this is something that doesn't only impact Gannon, even though he's no longer with us, but it affects everybody who cared about him. This is something that was probably the worst time in their lives, and now they have to relive it. So we're so concerned about Letitia and fairness to her. I'm saying this sarcastically.
Yeah.
And there's very little consideration given to the people who have been impacted by this tragedy and now have to experience it all over again, being re-traumatized. And so there just seems to be no common sense when it comes to our judicial system, right? Like, you have to look at the case itself, and the judge should say, and again, I know there's laws to this, there's statutes to it, right? There's minimum operating procedures they have to follow. But to me, common sense would prevail here and say, listen, yes, there was someone that was on it who may have had a pre-existing, you know, thought about this, but at the same time, based on the overwhelming evidence, we don't think it would have changed the outcome. As the judge, I don't believe it would change the outcome.
Everybody had a pre. This happened in Colorado, and the trial happened right in Colorado. Every single person. I mean, this stupid woman was going on the news giving interviews that made her, you know, just like Chris Watts territory, giving interviews that every single person with two brain cells to rub together was like, there's something going on here. Every person in the country, much less Colorado, had a preconceived notion. Now, here's what pisses me off, because the judge, Gregory Warner, I give him huge props, because he had to sit there and preside over this case, which was terrible. And he told Letitia basically, like, you're the worst person ever. You suck. And I hope you never see the light of day again. But Letitia's attorney challenged the juror to the judge during the initial trial. And Judge Warner did not dismiss that juror. And we can see
right.
a transcript
from the court.
So what
are we talking about here?
Yeah. That was the judge's decision. Right. So now it's right. almost like her attorneys are saying, like, well, you should have known this was going to happen. You should have known we were going to appeal, because we challenged this juror and you said you didn't think this was an issue. In fact, Judge Warner said, quote, I don't think it's a statutory cause, and I didn't hear anything else about that fact creating an issue or conflict or something else, end quote. And so basically, Letitia's attorneys are like, hey, it doesn't matter what you think. The case law is very clear. No family member of the district attorney's office can serve on a jury. And in this case, it's the father-in-law of one of the jurors. So
this is a misstep in judgment by the judge initially. He should have dismissed this juror and we wouldn't be here right now. But again, now because of this judge's incompetence.
I don't think it was his incompetence. Letitia and her legal team were constantly doing this. It was
yeah, but he just should have dismissed them initially.
Yeah, I mean, I think at that point he was
that's
like,
it.
"I'm
just
sick
to play
of
it
your
safe.
Bullshit. Let's do this trial thing, right?"
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I get it. We still have more to talk about. I want to get into it because it's a bigger picture, right? Because it's not only about this case. It's the judicial system in general. Let's take our last break. We'll be right back.
Okay, we've talked about Rocket Money before, and what got me into Rocket Money was, I had those moments where I sat down, looked at everything I was subscribed to, and immediately regret it. And I had avoided doing that because I knew deep in my soul that I probably was subscribed to things I didn't use.
Yeah, it's a dangerous game because you think you know what you're paying for, and then suddenly you're like, wait, why am I still being charged for this? And that's why Stephanie and I are started using Rocket Money. It's honestly been a game changer for understanding where our money is going.
Rocket Money is great because it shows everything in one place. So all your different bank accounts, if you have more than one, you can connect them all together. So everything's being shown to you. You don't have to sign into multiple apps or remember your passwords for multiple apps, which is my issue. You know, I'll go to sign into my bank account and I'll be like, wait, what's my password? I don't remember it. I guess I just won't look at this. So it tracks your subscriptions and you're spending across the account. So you can actually see what's happening instead of guessing. And if you find something you don't want anymore, What's cool is you can just cancel it right in the app with a few taps.
Yeah, you're actually saving money without even realizing it. It helps you set your budgets, track spending categories. You even get alerts for things like purchases and upcoming bills. So it doesn't just sneak up on you like you were referring to. Rocket Money is definitely awesome. Everyone should be using it.
Exactly. It makes your finances feel way less overwhelming. I find that the more you avoid things, the more overwhelming they become because you eventually have to face it. So keeping track of it in real time is the best way to make that, you know, inevitable, like slap in the face, just completely something that never happens. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that helps find and cancel unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings. So let Rocket Money help you reach your financial goals faster. Join at rocketmoney.com/crimeweekly. Once again, that's rocketmoney.com/crimeweekly, rocketmoney.com/crimeweekly. This is definitely something we both use. I do stand by it. I do suggest you try it out. Just try it and you'll see that it makes things less stressful.
Yeah, and you're going to save money. There's no doubt about it.
Yes, absolutely. All right, so we're back. Now, remember that this goes to a higher court body, and then they have agreed that the judge should have dismissed, Judge Warner should have dismissed the juror.
Shocker.
One judge, though, argued that Letitia Stauch waived her right to appeal the juror's bias. So this shouldn't even really be like kind of an issue that's on the table because attorneys can challenge jurors for cause. But the dissenting appellate judge argued that Letitia's attorneys waived the right to dismiss the juror. So according to the ruling, attorneys had 16 discretionary challenges. Stauch's legal team dismissed 7 jurors that had previously challenged the judge for cause that the judge did not dismiss. There were 9 other jurors dismissed under the peremptory challenge. So basically, remember, Letitia's legal team is doing the very most. But this juror was not dismissed in that process. So therefore, this dissenting judge is arguing that Letitia's legal team waived the right to appeal because they could have dismissed him anyways. They didn't have to wait for the judge to do it. And they didn't. So I don't know. But what's going to happen now is more important. And this is kind of frustrating. Because we kind of went over this with the Adnan Syed case, remember, where we were like, what does it mean if the guilty verdict is basically overturned now? What does that mean and what could possibly happen? And we kind of went over those options where it was like, well, they can basically let her go or have another trial, which is ludicrous, right? That you'd have to have another trial or your only other option is pretty much like let her go because they can't keep her in prison, right? If her murder conviction's been overturned.
No. Yeah. She's an innocent woman at this point, technically.
Which is
crazy.
It's pissing me off so much. So now they're saying, okay, well, basically what we're going to do is we're going to talk to the district attorney's office, and then we're gonna put together another trial if that's what we decide to do. So what does that even mean? What does that even mean? So you might not decide to do another trial?
Can you imagine the uproar?
I don't understand.
There's no way this woman walks. I'm telling you right now. There's no way.
So basically they're saying Letitia Stauch, thank God, is going to remain in prison as the whole process gets underway.
As she should.
To determine if the Colorado Supreme Court will hear the case. The Supreme Court upholds the appeals court ruling. So basically, I wonder if it can go to Supreme Court and then Supreme Court can say, hey, we don't agree with the appeals court. Like, this is pretty ridiculous.
It goes back down.
Hopefully, that is what will happen.
Usually, these upper courts will help correct a wrongdoing at the lower court because they're going to look at it from an overview and they're going to say, are you kidding me?
If the Supreme Court upholds the appeals court ruling, I'm going to be blown away.
Are we going to Colorado Springs? Are we protesting?
I feel like we should. That's what I was just thinking. How did you know that's what I was thinking? Like, I was thinking, how quick can I book a ticket to Colorado?
I got to go just to make sure you don't get arrested.
I will rain hell down on these people.
Stephanie's in the street, handcuffed to a trash can.
Handcuffed to a trash can? Absolutely not. I'm going to handcuff myself to a Supreme Court judge.
Oh my God. Yeah, I definitely have to go.
And stare at him or her in the face and talk about the details of Gannon's case nonstop. Like that annoying Patrick Swayze ghost.
They don't want that.
When he was haunting Whoopi Goldberg's character and he just wouldn't let her sleep. Like, I will nonstop harass these people. But if the Supreme Court does uphold the appeals court ruling, Letitia Stock will be removed from prison. She'll be sent back to the El Paso County Jail, and they will put the public and Gannon's family through another new trial that will cost taxpayers
millions.
Money that doesn't need to be spent. But yes,
not millions, maybe hundreds of thousands, but a lot of money.
Okay, appeals court, we're doing it because we want to keep the trust of the public. The public does not want this.
Yeah, because we always do everything above standard. We always want to make sure that we get it right.
If you took a poll of the people in Colorado and you were like, hey, guys, now one of the jurors was the father-in-law of a man that worked at the district attorney's office. Do you guys mind if we just kind of overlook it, considering how guilty this woman is and what a terrible thing, horrible, violent thing she did to an 11-year-old boy who couldn't have possibly done anything to deserve it? Like, are you guys okay with that? Will we retain the public trust if we just, you know, don't care about this? Every single person in Colorado would have been like, yes, lock her away, throw away the key. We don't care. It was one juror member. Enough is enough. So that's where we stand here.
I really hope the Supreme Court gets this right and says, listen, whatever technicality they have to go off of, I'm fine with. Listen, I'm not smart enough to know all the statutes or how they can angle this where it's like, well, because of the statute, we don't have to give her a retrial, whatever it might be. But you have an ability to do it. Make sure it's by the law. I understand there is a bigger picture here. We want to make sure moving forward that everyone, regardless of how obvious the evidence may be, gets a fair trial. I understand that premise and I agree with it. And it's as important to find the innocent as it is to find those guilty. So from a bigger macro level, I understand it and respect it because, let's face it, there are a lot of people who are on trial for crimes they didn't commit. So I understand the standard that in the precedent you're trying to set. This is not the case to make that example. This is not that case. Just based on the minimal information that you've divulged to us today, this is not the one to hang your hat on and make an example out of.
I'm saying, okay, if you kill an 11-year-old child and then get up in the court and you're like, I did it. I stabbed him, I shot him, I hit him in the head, but I was having a slight mental break at the time.
Yeah.
And that I don't even think you deserve a trial at that point, personally for me. That's it. Personally for me, let's go back to the days of just executing people in the public square. You don't deserve a trial, Letitia Stock. You don't deserve to walk this earth.
I may need to hear more about this case. We may have to cover it. Maybe it's something let's hope there isn't a new trial, but if there is, maybe this is something we cover here where we get into the details and maybe there's something in there.
Let us know in the comment section of this video if you'd like to see a deep dive, a Crime Weekly deep dive into Gannon Stock's case.
Yeah, and real quickly, I'm going to take 2 seconds, but speaking of judges, have you seen this thing out of Harris County with Judge Nathan? I want to make sure I get his name right because he's an idiot. Nathan Milleron. Have you seen this yet?
No.
So anybody who hasn't watched it, I'll play the video right here real quickly. And then Stephanie, you have to see this. It's incredible. It's about 30 seconds.
Of course you don't.
And you're disjoined from the audio here, right?
Yeah, should be.
Let me see. Sorry.
Mariah, did I make this up?
No. 5 seconds. 1 second. You don't have to go far. You're disjoined. Okay. Yeah, you're good.
Okay.
False alarm.
No, it wasn't a false alarm.
False negative. Sorry.
Don't joke around. I'm serious about this. It was happening.
I understand. I'm just saying I can't see it, sir.
We're good. Thank you. Get out of my courtroom. Find his supervisor. Jesus Christ.
Sick and tired of this today.
And listen, I've had a lot of experiences with judges, and I will tell you firsthand, there are some judges who are absolutely awesome people that you'd go out, have dinner and a drink with, and they treat their job with the respect it needs to be. They understand their position, but they're also very fair, and they don't have this God complex like Nathan does. In fact, for anybody, there was an update on this. There's a Harris County lawyer who wrote him an email.
I saw that. Yep.
And basically was like, hey, listen, you need to apologize to this guy. That is completely unacceptable. And Nathan's response was, I want you to appear before me in court to answer for what you said. And basically they're like, F you, we're not going nowhere. It's not a lawful order. You can't just tell people to show up to your court because we don't agree with you. So that's not going anywhere.
I felt so bad for this IT guy too, because he's
terrible.
Clearly, by the way, the judge was just an idiot who didn't know
douchebag.
What he was doing.
Yeah,
and then when he got, when that like obviously was illustrated and the guy tries to laugh it off, he's not like, you dumbass, you know, like I would have felt like saying like, you dumbass. The guy's like, ha, like he's laughing it off and trying to make it light so that we're not drawing attention to the judge's incompetence with technology.
Right.
With technology. And the judge is mad and he's like, don't you laugh. And just, so gross, so disgusting.
Where's his supervisor?
You look at someone like that and you're like, is this guy who clearly has no patience,
right.
who has
exactly.
an enormous ego, who has no humility. We want him making the calls.
Bingo.
That's
Bingo.
Not somebody I who just will hold a grudge from somebody who's helping him and berate him publicly because he feels embarrassed for a second. Like what kind
right.
of frail baby bitch bullshit that sometimes these men do? What is that? You got to stop.
And by the way, not only men, I've had some women judges as well, just complete jerks. And I don't want to get demonetized, so I'm treading lightly here
So I didn't mean just men when I say the baby bitch bullshit thing. Women will do it in like a different way I've seen, but this like stomping my feet and being like, I'm embarrassed, so I need to make everybody else like suffer for this. Like that's a weird thing.
No, but you nailed it. It's overall the best way to sum this up is temperament. Is this the temperament that you want from a person who is deciding whether someone is guilty or innocent, or whether a traffic infraction or a civil infraction is something worth, you know, ruining their lives over? Like you want someone who is, like you said, has humility, has an ability to empathize or sympathize with the person there, still be objective, still hold people accountable, but also a temperament that is above the standard approach, right? He's supposed to represent the best of us. That when you watch that video, does that represent the best of us?
No, he's clearly triggered. And so he's taking it out on someone else.
Exactly.
Which is not what you want to see in a judge.
No, absolutely not. So I don't want to make it a big deal. It's not enough for a whole Crime Weekly News. But when we're talking about judges and how they impact families and also the community, just another classic example of it. I have there are some good judges, but I have a major issue with the level of protection that judges have and what they can say and do and get away with it because they have this wall up in front of them. But overall, like Stephanie said, let us know what you think about Letitia's case. If it's something you want us to cover, we've been trying to go with more obscure cases that we feel like you guys really like that. I hate to use the word like, but it seems like that's something that more that you're geared toward right now. And so we're planning on continuing down that road. But depending on how this all plays out, maybe it's something we cover where for anybody who's not familiar with it, we'll do a deep dive on the case. But anything else? Any final words from you?
No. Please let me know in the comments because I can start putting a series together. We're in the middle of a really good series now. But
Yeah, it's a crazy one. Thank you for all the responses and on this, both on audio and video with Tomla's case. I can tell I didn't realize how big of a case this was and how many people have strong opinions on it. So we'll be back later this week with part two of this series. And we have a lot more to cover. So if you're not already watching or listening to that series, make sure you go listen or watch part one. This is a fascinating case and the investigation into it is very questionable. So stay tuned for that. We will be back later this week. Until then, everyone stay safe out there. We'll see you soon.
Allergy season always has a way of sneaking up on you. One minute you're listening to your favorite podcast, the next it's nonstop sneezing and a runny nose. That's why it's essential to keep Kleenex Ultra Soft tissues on hand. They're silky soft for up to 100% irritation-free skin and allergist approved. So when allergies hit, and they will, be ready with Kleenex Ultra Soft tissues. For whatever happens next, grab Kleenex.
It's tax season, and by now, we're all a bit tired of numbers. But here's an important one you need to hear. $16 billion. That's how much money and refunds the IRS flagged for possible identity fraud. But it's not all grim news. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. If your identity is stolen, they'll fix it. Guaranteed. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Here's the truth. You could literally be adored by everyone and then come home and still get completely ignored by your own cat. It's classic cat behavior. But new Shiba Premium Puree is a lickable treat that changes all that. They're protein-rich, made with bone broth, and have the smooth, creamy texture cats go crazy for, especially when it's hand-fed. Yeah, it's more than a treat. It's a fast pass to favorite human status. So feed your cat Shiba and go from totally ignored to truly adored in just 12 days, guaranteed, or your money back. Learn more at Shiba.com.